What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we're coming at you with a Brooks pick of, I guess this would be considered August by the time. Yeah, I think your first pick of August, I guess. We're traveling to India. It's our
Yes.
first ever Indian movie.
That is,
It is, yeah. And we're going to be talking about Brahma Yugam, which translates to the Age of Madness. This was released in 2024.
Yeah, newer movie.
Yeah, pretty new. Obviously, first watch for me, first watch for you. I've never watched like a lot of Indian cinema, but I feel like maybe I
Me
should.
either. Yeah.
I'm curious because like we know what like Bollywood action movies and shit look like, and like they're fucking crazy, some of the stuff that from what I've seen anyways, but like excuse me, I was on Two Chicks Discord talking to some people, and one of the guys in there was sharing some of his favorite Indian horror movies, and I was like, you know, like I'm gonna give these a shot
Yeah.
because they
And I
could be
mean,
good.
I paid for a month of a
Yeah.
Indian streaming service.
Yeah, just to watch this movie.
I kind of browse a little bit and like literally know absolutely nothing. But I don't want to get too into it. But apparently the main guy in this is, from what I read, the biggest Indian movie star ever.
You see how many roles he's had?
Yeah.
Holy
Yeah.
fuck. Yeah. We'll
Like
talk about
this
that later.
guy, yeah, I mean, we'll get into it, but
Unreal. So yeah, I mean, you shared your login information with me for Sony Live, I guess is how it's pronounced. And like the Live, like the Golf League, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, I feel like I might check some stuff out on there just to see. I almost deleted the app today and I was like, no, I'm gonna keep that for the month at least that he's got it. The only thing that sucks is because I got it on my phone. I didn't try to get it on my computer, but I might be able to. But whenever I airplayed it to my TV, the subtitles wouldn't work.
Did you get them to work?
No, I watched it on my phone. I watched this movie on my fucking phone. It was pissing me off. I could not get the subtitles to.
That sucks.
It does. I wasn't happy about it at all. But
Because, I mean, this is a pretty good looking movie.
yeah, it is. And like I have a good phone, but it's not as good as my TV.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, yeah. Let's kick off our news and booze.
All right.
All right, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Brouwer Hoffman Ludwig's Tale, the Swankane, Dunkelweizenbach.
Jesus Christ, say that name a whole bunch of times.
Another strong beer, so I haven't had this one before. What are you drinking?
The simply spiked strawberry peach. The fuck is all over my desk? This is driving me insane. I keep finding shit. Anyways, yeah. Simply spiked strawberry peach.
Nice.
And I have a Michelob on deck.
Very nice.
The independent grocery store in Prescott sells alcohol now.
Well, better time.
Learn that tonight. But my hands were full, so I didn't get anything.
Are your gas stations
Oh
carrying
yeah.
beer down there?
Yeah. Yeah, they have been for months now. But
Yeah.
yeah, I was surprised whenever I was walking around there tonight. Have you watched anything?
Sure have.
Have you met Ted?
Sad, can you turn on screen sharing, please?
You go.
I have met Ted because I have a son named Ted.
That's true, actually. One of his many names.
Exactly.
Little Teddy.
What did we watch last here in America? Watched Venom: Let There Be Carnage, first time watch actually, and then Venom: The Last Dance. Watch that finally.
Okay, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. You know
What?
how, like, I just stopped complaining about it for the longest time, how I always said that I couldn't see your whole screen?
Yeah.
It's on my end.
What do you mean?
I just had a window pop up and it said, you're only viewing part of Brooke Merkley's screen. If you want to see the whole screen, change the settings.
Oh my God.
Wow, this has been ongoing for a year and a half now. Anyways, sorry, keep going. I can see your whole fucking screen. This is amazing.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so watch Venom: The Last Dance finally. Not great movies. They're just fun.
Ooh, they are very fun.
I don't know if you've seen The Last Dance yet.
I haven't yet.
Okay. Not great movies, but man, they make me laugh. They're just good. Watched Minority Report. Kind of ran that on through that on randomly. I've never seen
Nice.
it. It's all right. Then randomly watched Die Hard 2 because Bettina went to get her haircut finally. It's been since before Theo was born.
Okay, nice.
So he took like a 3 hour nap, so I watched Die
Holy
Hard 2.
shit. That's all right.
Yeah, fun movie.
Yeah.
Then we watched Zootopia, and then we recorded Martyrs with the Kilts and the Redneck, which is out now. Watched Happy Gilmore 2, unfortunately.
That score, man.
Absolutely hated this movie. I thought it was so bad. So bad. Watched a movie on Shudder called Monster Island, which is kind of like retelling-ish of Creature from the Black Lagoon kind of thing. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, actually.
Yeah.
And then Bettina and I have been watching One Night in Idaho, The College Murders.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good, four episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I watched Until Dawn Tonight because I found out today that it was on American Netflix. So I used my VPN and watched that, and it was chaotic and messy and just a little overwhelming for me, to be honest.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
That's it.
Nice. I watched a lot less than you did. Happy Gilmore 2. I liked it more than you did. I gave it a 3-star. I agree. It became like a fucking Where's Waldo of cameos.
And there's people I didn't even realize
Oh
were
yeah,
in it.
there's yeah.
Like Reggie Bush was in it. I didn't even
Yeah.
recognize him.
Yeah.
And then I guess like his wife, or not his wife, his two daughters in the movie and the dance instructor are
Yeah.
his actual daughters and his wife. And I was like,
Yeah.
God.
You
Yeah.
never seen Jackie before?
Well,
His
okay, now
wife?
that I've like, yeah, I realized it's his wife. I was like, oh yeah, okay, she does look familiar now.
Yeah. She's
Yeah.
in all of his movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a list of 62 major cameos, and then like that didn't even include like Rob Schneider and like his regular crew of guys.
Yeah, I think the number was 80 of what I saw.
Yeah, like that's fucking insane.
Because just in that one room, there was like, what, 25?
Golfers, yeah.
Yeah.
And then John Daly was so fucking funny in this
Yeah,
movie.
he
I don't
was. Yeah. Yeah.
like, I thought he was great. Yeah, and then like you watch Martyrs for our episode with the Kilts and the Redneck. It's out now. Go check that one out if you haven't already. That's all I've watched.
All right.
Pretty slow, boring week for movie watching.
It's all right.
I might Well, yeah, I was saying to you, I really want to rent Bring Her Back now that it's out. And I might check out the American Netflix with a VPN. My TV doesn't let me use a VPN, so it's kind of fucking annoying, but I can use it almost.
Yeah, luckily my TV does, which is nice, to
Yeah,
be
you're
honest.
lucky. Anywho, as for news, we got The Life of Chuck is on VOD now.
Oh, okay.
There was another one
Nice.
too. Fuck, I can't remember what the other one was. It was another big movie that just came out this year. Is out on VOD. We got trailer for Five Nights at Freddy's 2, which looks pretty cool. Weapons, which is Zach Cregger's new movie, comes out August 8th, which is in a week.
Really?
Yeah, I really want to see it.
Because I saw Horror Cafe watched it. Maybe she went to a screen of it, maybe.
Maybe.
But she gave it a 9 out of 10.
Oh no, she shared the IGN.
Oh, IGN. Okay. That
Yeah.
makes sense. Yeah.
She doesn't work for IGN. Was it Together? No, Together wasn't on VOD. I don't know. Anyways, I saw it earlier, but is there anything good? We have a Hell House LLC Lineage trailer. I don't think I'm gonna watch it though. The trailer. I don't want to go into that movie blind. And Return of the Living Dead is getting a video game. It's called More Brains Assault on UNITA.
Interesting title.
Yes. And we got some first images of Jacob Elordi as Frankenstein's monster, Einstein.
Okay. I think I may try and avoid that actually.
Yeah. And
Actually,
oh,
speaking of
no,
Guillermo
Kurt.
del Toro,
Yeah.
did you know that he just received the key of the city to Toronto?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Apparently, Toronto is his second favorite city in the world, and it's like his second home to him.
Huh.
And he was given the key to the city. They even renamed like a movie theater after him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that city, but that's cool. No, it's all right. It's just a shit show to drive in. And this came out a while back, but we got a 2-minute teaser for Welcome to Derry. This came out like a week ago, but it looks fucking so good. I'm excited. But anyways, I don't have anything else.
Cool.
What do we have for 4Ks?
4Ks. So 4Ks, we got the Phoenician Scheme. May have to
Nice.
give that a try.
Yeah.
Knight Rider, the complete series.
It's kind of sick,
We got
actually.
Thunderbolts, so maybe it'll actually be on streaming this week.
Fingers are crossed.
Wesley Snipes, Drop Zone.
Gary
The
Busey.
Dark Half, pretty cool cover.
Yeah.
Jade, that looks interesting. Let's Scare Jessica to Death. The
Okay.
Golden Child, Dirty Work, Nobody on 4K, Steelbook.
Like that.
Yeah, Billy Madison, a movie called Curdled. Interesting. Hiding Out, To Catch a Thief. Jeez, a lot today, Jesus.
There is.
The Blood of Fu Manchu and The Castle of Fu Manchu. Apparently has Christopher Lee in it.
Yes.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. May have to pick that
Yeah, I
up.
was gonna say that might be one I get.
Fade to Black. The Jet Li Collection.
Ooh.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Steelbook. And Lucio Fulci's The Beyond.
There's a lot this week.
Very much so.
Did you look at the whole month again?
No, I did not.
That
It
Ace Ventura Steelbook looked pretty cool, though.
did.
All right. Cool. Ready to kick off this movie discussion?
Yes, sir.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Brahma Yugam, which translates to The Age of Madness from 2020. Starting off with the synopsis, Thievan, a folk singer of the Penan caste, has a fateful encounter when escaping slavery, leading to him discovering an ancient traditional mansion altering his destiny. This was directed by Rahul Sathasivan. And he has directed two other movies. I'm going to butcher this. Bootha Kalam and Red Rain. It stars Mamuti, who is the guy that you're talking about earlier. He plays Koduman Potty. 434 acting credits.
Yeah.
434 acting credits.
Yeah. And
What the fuck?
yeah, he's apparently the top star in Malayalam film industry.
Yes, which is the language that they speak.
Yeah.
So he is huge.
Like
Like
massive.
massive.
Brad Pitt,
Yeah,
huge.
he's the Indian Brad Pitt. There's also Arjun Ashokan, who played Thievan. Siddharth Barathan played the servant. And Amalda Liz played the Yakshi.
Yep.
A friend of mine's mother's name is Yakshi.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
So she's a vampire.
Basically, yeah. So I wrote down a little tidbit of what a Yakshi is because I was kind of interested.
Hey, you know what? I actually did a shit ton of research too.
Did you? Okay. All
Yeah.
right. Do you want to just do it then?
Well, we can do it when we get to that scene, I think.
Okay. All right. That
Yeah.
works. I don't have any honorable mentions.
Yeah, me either.
All right. So let's dive in.
All right. I better get my notes. So yeah, this movie takes place in the South of Malabar in the 17th century. And this whole movie is in black and white, which I think was a good choice. And it was filmed in a 2-to-1 ratio, I think I read. Yeah, this movie looks really, really good. And so it opens up, we meet two characters, Tavon and Corin. They are two former slaves who are, I believe, trying to make it back to their village, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got.
And so they're kind of stopped, they're making fire. Koran hears something and he basically tells Tavon, like, we got to get out of here, you know, before the sun comes up, or you know, keep the fire going, basically, he says. So Tavon wakes up, it's the middle of the night, the fire is basically out, and he's going around trying to find him, and he sees him just standing there, and there's this weird tree looking thing, and then there is this gorgeous lady dressed to the T's, just comes out, doesn't say anything, and she is kind of starting to seduce Cora, and then he follows her, and then she starts kissing him, and then proceeds to bite him and suck his blood. So what I found, so there's a couple different things I found. So there's a Yakshini or a Yakshi, are female nature spirits in Hindu mythology. They're often depicted as beautiful and benevolent beings, associated with fertility, prosperity, and the natural world. And they represent the divine feminine and the nurturing aspects of nature. A lot of the folklore, they are usually protecting some kind of treasure in nature. But then I was also curious, because that doesn't really answer the question as to why she decides to bite his neck off. So I found another one. There is in folkloric deity of South India, a woman, her real name was, I'm gonna butcher this, I'm sorry, but Shiru Thivi. She was a beautiful courtesan who had an intimate relationship with the son of one of the kings. And basically, she got turned into a yak sheep because this son wasn't in love with her, had his own wife, and she was jealous. So she tried to get his wife murdered. And then when he found out, he killed her, and she was reborn as a yakshi. And right after she was born, she transformed into a bewitchingly beautiful woman moments after her birth. And so, as a yakshi, she seduces and terrorizes men, drinks their blood, basically. So, that's what like Indian culture and like all of their stuff is so fascinating. It's like Indian culture and like some Chinese cultures, and then you got like Canadian American culture is like nothing as crazy or wild as that, right?
We have Bigfoot and Sasquatches and stuff like Chupacabras. They're kind of cool.
So yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, she doesn't really have anything else to do with the movie. It's just a little part at the beginning, right?
We see her again later on, but it's just
Oh,
another quick
right.
part. But what I have, just like many folk stories, feature murdered women being reborn as vengeful yakshis. They're also featured in Malayatur Ramakrishnan's 1967 novel called Yakshi. Which describes their world as having a blue sun, carpets of crimson glass, streams of molten silver, and flowers made of sapphires, emeralds, garnets, and topaz. In the novel, young yakshis fly around on the backs of giant dragonflies, and according to this novel, adult yakshis are required to re-enter the land of the living once a year to feed on the blood of humans. So, I mean, if there's an English adaptation of this book, I feel like I'd be interested in reading it. It'd be cool.
Because it seems like all like their folklore and stuff is like really creative, and like there's all their like drawings and pictures of just like they're so colorful and cool looking. So the next morning, Tavon, he makes it to kind of the way he has to cross to get back home. But the water has risen and he can't get across to where he is. So he is back in the forest. He's trying to find another way around. He ends up at a temple mansion type thing. And he finds a man. You never really find out. Well, you do eventually, but the whole movie is basically named The Servant. That's basically what he is. And he kind of tries to tell Tavon, like, what are you doing here? Just stealing our shit. Like, he starts like eating his coconuts or whatever. And then he hears someone's voice on the inside asking who's there. And the servant is very like hesitant about introducing him to this guy. And you're like, it's kind of creepy because like the door is like slightly open and you don't really see any like just a cane and like weird ass feet and a guy coming out, and the servant is like really like, I don't know, he's not scared, but like acts differently around this person.
He's kind of timid.
And so you finally see this guy, and it is Kodaman Podi. He is a sixth generation of the Podis, and you learn that Tavon is a former saner back at where he was in the village. So Podi asks him to sane. You get this sane part, and then he asks to join for supper and to join him permanently in his residence. And this guy is nasty.
I, if we didn't have to watch this movie for the podcast, there's a good chance he was getting shut off at this part.
Why is that?
Because he put what I can only assume is a form of tobacco, like in each like chew in his mouth, and then for a solid 5 minutes, him and Savon are like talking and whatnot, and he's just going, oh. Just clearing his throat, like trying to hawk a loogie for like 5 fucking minutes long. And I was just like, I am having huge sensory overload with this shit, and I gotta fuck, like I almost fast forwarded through it, but
And like the way he's doing it, it's very weird too, and like his teeth are like all fucked up, and I was like,
yeah.
I have no idea like what this movie is really. Like I have no idea where this movie is going.
Yeah.
So Tavon stays for supper and he has to make a decision if he is going to stay or go.
At
So
this point, do you
he
think he has a choice still?
no, because what we learn later on is there is a mana or mana that's surrounding this mansion,
Yeah.
and nobody can leave unless Pody says they can leave, pretty
And
much.
basically, he doesn't let anybody leave.
So he's sleeping in his room. He hears a sound upstairs, like chains, and the servant tells him, like, don't go wandering around. Like, I know it's a big place, but the past, whatever people, like, they went to some hall and ended up they never came back again because they got lost or some shit, right? So they're in Pody's kind of main bedroom. Devon is sitting to him again, and he kind of tells Devon that he has been alone for many, many years. And I can see why people love this Mahmoody actor.
Yeah,
Like,
he's good.
especially in this movie, he has that aura to him. Like, he gives Stefan food, and he hasn't eaten in a while, I assume. And he's like eating it, smiling, and he's like saying to himself, "Oh, thank God, prayers." And then just the straightest face, Kodama just turns into him. He's like, "What are you talking about? Like, what do you mean, thank God? Like, I gave you this food, not God." And he's getting mad, and it's like kind of scary, to be honest.
I mirror his thoughts on this. Like, it drives me a little bit crazy when, like, let's just say a doctor or a surgeon saves somebody's life, and then you see, like, oh, thank God that happened. No, don't fucking thank God. Thank the surgeon who saved that person's life. Like, that, it just drives me crazy when that shit happens. But I mean, I go on for days about that. But yeah, I agree. It is like, this is our first time seeing that kind of change of attitude with him, because he's been creepily friendly up until now, and like this kind of showcases his dark side for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So later that night, we see the servant. He is taking stuff upstairs. You still hear the chains going, and you don't know really what's up there. I love the scene, the next scene, whenever Thavon is outside trying to take a shit, and then he finds all the graves,
Yeah.
just like six graves, and then he just doesn't take a shit, just leaves. So Thavon ends up exploring this mansion a little bit. He, I think, steals the guy's booze from him, and yeah,
Don't think
he
he like
hears.
purposely steals it. I think like there's just alcohol on a shelf or something, isn't there?
Right. Yeah.
And he just like thinks that he can take it.
Yeah. And so he hears the chains again upstairs, and what does he do? Decides to follow the noises and has a little like lantern thing, goes up the stairs and opens the door, goes up the stairs, and there's another set of doors there that he's pushing. It doesn't open, so he ends up dropping his lantern and then decides to go up there. And it's like, what are you doing, man? Yeah, this is like this room, and there's the chain, there's like a food that's like laid up there, and there's like a door at the end that's like has a white light, and it has a chain there, and he ends up like falling over the chain, and hearing like a noise, and then ends up leaving. But just like the atmosphere in this movie is done really, really well. Like it's tense, it's creepy.
Yeah, I like this mansion.
Yeah.
Like it's the 17th century, right? So it's all stone brickwork.
Yeah.
And it really feels like you could get lost in it pretty easily.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't feel big.
No.
You know what I mean? Like you haven't read Piranesi yet, eh?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
So this is kind of how I pictured that place, because like
Yeah.
it's like a maze and you're gonna get lost in it, but it doesn't feel big.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
So the next morning he is kind of wandering around, and we see Pody. He is playing a game, and it's a game called Paquita or something like that. And they're kind of talking, and Devon says, "Oh yeah, I know how to play that game." And Pody asks him, like, "Do you want to stay or not?" And then he goes on talking about he wants him to be the Panon of the mansion. I'm not sure what that was.
That's the singer. That's what they call
What,
like the,
Panon?
yeah, that's what they call a singer.
Oh, okay. And so he says, "Okay, we'll play." But he doesn't realize that if he loses the game, he can't leave the mansion. And meanwhile, the servants is doing everything. Like they're playing, and he's just cooking food, chilling,
Yeah.
spitting, chewing tobacco everywhere.
Ugh. That's another thing too. Everyone seems so like sweaty and greasy,
Yeah.
even though it's a black and
Yeah.
white movie. It's
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So they get to the final part of the game, and they say that I think it says, "Okay, you need a 12 to win the game." This is Potty that needs a 12. So he rolls the dice, and it's like a 6 and a 1 or something like that. And then Thavon's like happy. And all of a sudden, like, Potty just stares at him, and the dice start shaking, and the one dice flips over to a 6. And he starts laughing. And you're like, what is going on? Like, what? This guy is so crazy, man. And at this point, like, you don't know really anything, right? Too much. And then Thavon later is talking with the servant, and he basically tells him not to trust POTUS. That's not his true nature of how he's acting. And then they're having dinner together, him and the servant. And the servant tells kind of a bit of the backstory about this whole mansion. So pretty much Pody's family has been in this mansion for a long, long time. Is it this part that he says?
Yeah, he explains like his family history.
Does he? Okay, yeah. And so basically there was a goblin that was a servant at this mansion, and the servant or the goblin, I believe, became a this is where it kind of gets a bit like a lot of research and stuff like that. So the goblin became a cha I butcher this word, a Chothin, who are basically, they're like a deity who are, they can be fierce but also benevolent. Like they're both protective and destructive, which you do see that aspect of Pody, right?
It's
And
this thing is Dobby, right?
basically, yeah.
Like destructive as all hell, but just trying to help at the same time.
Yeah.
But this one's like a little bit more angry.
Yeah, you see, do see parts of it come out. So in the story he tells, the goblin takes over the mansion because it kind of it gains power somehow in this house over its master. And Pody goes there to try and save his family and to take over the goblin. And you think that happens in the story. But in the movie, that's not what happened. And you learn later on that the mana is stopped, is contained in this mansion, and there's like this little flame thing that keeps the Chotan's power, basically. I don't know, it's a lot of information.
Yeah, the only way that you can kill this thing is to extinguish this lamp. But this lamp has like an eternity flame, basically. Like you cannot put it out. But so the Potty that we know now, like Cottamon, he is a descendant of Chudala, who was a sorcerer. And he was a goblin helper. And he tortured this Chathan or goblin, like tortured it until it turned like vengeful and like psychotic, basically. And then he ended up killing Chudala. But
And basically lived in this mansion by himself.
yeah.
Do, 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 do. Oh, so big kind of turning point to me for me, the scene when Thavon is sitting in the room again with Potty, and just out of nowhere, I think the servant is like talking back to him or something like that, and just everything starts shaking, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then he just fucking Darth Vader's the servant, and I was like, this guy's a fucking Indian Jedi. I was like, that caught me off guard. I was like, holy shit, this guy is powerful. But he doesn't use his powers, like, because he's also super nice and like, not super nice, but like, I don't know. It's like that good and evil, right?
He's basically like dormant unless you piss him off. So like if you're on good terms with him, if you follow the rules of his house, you don't touch his shit, you don't try and escape or anything like that, you're gonna live an okay life. Like, yeah, you're gonna be his servant and cooking and cleaning and everything, but you're not gonna like get on his bad side unless you start fucking around.
And then you find out, so we start seeing it again, and then you learn that Pauly killed the previous help and the dancer that was living there. So that's what all the graves are. And Thavon goes to bed, and then he has this dream, and this Chathan Potty that we see in his dream is possibly like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, I wish we got more of that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Because like he like opens his eyes, and just in the dark door, I don't know, you see like it looked like a face, or like this big round face, and then it looks up and it's Potty, and you're like, holy shit, that's
Yeah.
cool.
He's wearing this like great big huge headdress kind of thing.
So you learn also, so whenever Potty was fighting the goblin, Potty looked in its mouth and he saw hell. And that's kind of when the goblin gained control. And you learn that the goblin was in the attic for a while.
Chained up.
So then this is when Thavon finds the kind of eternal flame thing. And then the Yakshi shows up, which I didn't really understand why she was there. Like, because like not having sex, but like they're kind of kissing, and like there's like this like powder that's on them, and like I didn't really understand
Yeah,
that
what was
part.
that powder? I didn't get
Yeah, I
that.
don't know either.
But like, I don't know, they're both like kind of demons, I guess, so maybe they're lovers. But there's also one point too where Thavon is talking to the servant. And he's mentioning his mom and like how his mom's probably worried about him because she hasn't seen him in a week or something like that. And the servant's like, a week or a month? He's like, how long have you been here for? So like you kind of learn or you kind of lose track of time while you're in there as well. So maybe it's been a full year and the Yakshi's back for human blood.
Yeah, because he's trying to get the servant to leave with him, and he asks him to leave, and Pawdy is kind of like being smart. He's like, okay, yeah, you can, no one's gonna stop you. And he's like, but how will you go in all this rain? And it starts raining, like pouring, and then just he's like, I will make this rain last for weeks or maybe even months. And so this guy just makes rain happen like that. And it rains for a long time, and just the whole place is basically falling apart because of how much it's raining. And he just doesn't want him to leave.
So do you think he caused the flooding in the first place to like kind of draw people there?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe. Then this is where he kind of mentions that the Brahma Humam is the age of madness. And then he doesn't need T'Vaan to sing anymore. So T'Vaan is basically stuck here with him. Yeah, the servant is giving him alcohol, and servant doesn't drink at all. He's kind of telling him about his village. And then so he wakes up and he goes outside and he sees it's still pouring out, and the servant is finishing digging up a grave. And T'Vaan kind of looks at him, and I don't know if they say each other anything to each other, but I think T'Vaan knows what that grave is for. It's for him. And he starts running away. He crosses the gate, and as soon as he crosses the gate, he just has a lot of pain. He's puking blood. He can't leave at all. So he ends up leaving, and Pawdy is standing there on the steps, and he basically says, well, you didn't ask permission to leave. And T'Vaan's like dying. He's like, can I leave? And he's like, permission to leave not granted. So you learn that he's not the first to try to leave. The place is a trap. T'Vaan has been here for months, even though he thinks that it's been days. And the servant is asking him, like, what's your name? I don't know. Is he more importantly, what's your mom's name? And he's trying to think, he can't remember anything. So, yeah. And so you learn now, big twist, that the person in the attic was Pawdy, the real Pawdy. And it cuts to up there, and there is a blanket on a dead body, and they pull the blanket off, and it's Pawdy. So you'll learn that the goblin can mimic people. So do you think Pawdy just died recently? The real Pawdy? Because we hear the chains moving around, and there's like food up there whenever T'Vaan goes up there.
I think that's the goblin.
But the
I think he has the goblin chained up there.
you have a pot, the goblin is Pawdy though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe he was alive then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that would have to make sense. Yeah, it's got to be him.
So yeah, they are trapped in this realm basically. They're talking about the lamp that is always lit, and basically if that goes out, then the goblin's power diminishes. He's not as strong as he is. So they're going to try and work together to get the key to the door that is guarding this lamp. We do quickly see the servant is like cooking dinner, the final dinner for them, and Potty comes up behind him, scares the fuck out of him, and just chokes him, almost kills him. And then that's it. And so they're in Potty's room. T'Vaan is in there with him, and Potty falls asleep. And so T'Vaan goes right up to him, is trying to find the key. And then looks up, and Potty's just eyes are open, just death staring into him. And it's like, oh man, this guy is so intimidating. It's
Yeah.
crazy. And then, yeah, he says something about, I was looking for something. And he was like, I was looking for the key. And then, like, Potty's like, how do you know about the key? And Tavon's like, oh, the key to my destiny, like, kind of changing wording a bit.
I love that whole conversation that they have because they're trying to figure out where the key is that opens this door.
Yeah.
And as soon as he says, I was looking for the key or whatever,
Yeah.
Potty like touches his side, like he has like a little pocket in his skirt thing. So he knows that that's where the key is being kept. But then, like, yeah, you said they kind of have this back and forth where he's like using wordplay to kind of
Yeah.
save his ass.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's still raining. There's trees falling down onto the mansion, like things are just falling apart. And Thavon asks Potty to see his real form. And he just says, like, as calm as can be, it's not time yet. And then it stops raining. And that's when he wakes up and he basically goes on about saying how it's your hour of reckoning. And then, like, he opens his mouth and, like, there's like light coming from his mouth and, like, almost like it, right? Like, and then I forget what makes him stop. I think the servant comes in or something like that, maybe. Oh no, the light goes out because the servant got the key
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
before whenever he was choking him. So he realizes the key is gone and the servant blew at the candle, finds the shrine in the what the name is it? The Varahis box or whatever that they are going to use to capture the goblin. They have to get the goblin into the box before sunrise. And
It's like little Nicky.
so, yeah, exactly.
Get in the flask.
So they're in this room, and servant is basically telling him, don't believe anything the goblin says. And then they're like, okay, where is he? And then Potty's like there behind them, and he's telling Thavon, I forget what he's basically telling them lies. Like, servant says, like, open the box. And then the goblin's like, as soon as you open that box, servant's gonna kill you. So he doesn't open it, and then, like, a fight breaks out.
We find out that the servant is Kodamon Potty's son.
Yeah, which I did not see at all.
Fucking wild.
Yeah, because you learn that, like, yeah, he came to defeat the goblin and to ha take revenge on for his father. And the Potty is the goblin Potty is like, oh, there is no, like, I checked everything, like, there's no living hair or whatever. And he's like, well, my mother or my father laid with for what the
A
word they
lowborn.
use, lowborn. And it's like, oh shit, no way. And, like, the guy that played the servant, like, I thought he did a really good job. Like, he has no emotions through the whole movie, but, like,
Yeah, which
just the
I mean,
way
it's
he
hard
is.
to do, right?
yeah
Like, I
yeah
think.
exactly.
Yeah, he's basically the Jon Snow of the
yeah yeah
story.
exactly. So yeah, this the Potty ends up choking the servant, almost killing him, and then Thavon ends up stabbing him. Yeah, they're fighting, they end up getting separated. And then this whole place kind of turns into like a maze kind of thing, which is really cool. I thought it was really awesome. So in the servant side, his is like spinning, like kind of like the Nolan movie.
Tenet,
Inception.
Inception, that one.
Yeah. It's like spinning. He's like trying to stay up and he's like flying into like the bricks. And then in Thavon's area he's in, the whole place is getting smaller and smaller, and he's like freaking the fuck out. His like flame is going out. But then the servant, oh, go ahead.
was gonna say at this point too, we see the goblin in its true form at this point. The whole time that they're fighting, he's like hiding behind like the stairs or whatever.
Oh, that's after. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, because they end up lighting the place on fire when they get back into that room.
I thought it was while they're fighting before.
No, because they fight each other.
Yeah.
It's yeah, because he's hiding behind the stairs whenever the servant and Thavon are fighting each other.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so Goblin's trying to trick them. They end up fighting. Thavon ends up stabbing him in the neck and ends up catching on fire. And then you see the goblin coming out of the body, and like it's really, really cool special effects too, or practical effects. The goblin looks like a little kid, basically, right? And the ring gets knocked off his hands, so he's basically like the goblin only has like a few powers, really. Like he can't really do much because he knows he's kind of defeated at this point, right? So yeah, then servant picks up the ring and basically says, "From now on, I am your master." He's about to put the ring on, and then Thavon hits the ring out of his hand, and they end up fighting each other. So what would happen if the servant put on the ring?
Would it not be what happens to Savon at the end?
I guess.
Because Savon gets possessed at the end.
Yeah, because the goblin takes the ring,
He
right?
has the ring.
At the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But what happened if the servant put on the ring? Would
I
he
feel
become
like
just,
that's,
would
it's
he
almost
just
like,
become powerful?
or would it become like sort of a gateway for the goblin?
So you think he wants the goblin to be a part of him?
No, I guess it would just be power, because Potty does say.
Because what I read on Reddit of people saying, like the ring gives you like you can change into people, you have like superhuman strength.
Yeah.
I think you have like some sort of like mind. Well, obviously the fucking Jedi shit that they were
Yeah.
doing. Maybe like become a better sorcerer, a stronger sorcerer.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're
I wonder
fighting each
if,
other and oh, go
I
ahead.
was gonna say, I wonder if only a sorcerer can use it.
Maybe. Because I guess the goblin is kind of a sorcerer if he possesses their body, right?
Yeah.
So they're fighting. Thavon like stabs the servant like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then they're fighting each other. He ends up kicking the servant into like this pile, and then the whole place is starting to fall apart, and you see the whole roof fall on everyone. And then you see Thavon make it out. He walks out past the gate. Makes it out, and then you see the servant, he's still alive too, and you're like, oh shit, okay. And he's crossing a river, and then all of a sudden you see the Portuguese come up on horses and shoot him and kill servant, and they
Yeah.
go on towards the mana, towards the mansion. And then it cuts to Devon, who is crossing the river, and he has the ring on, and Thavon is dog. It's got Thavon dead, right? So the goblin survived and took over his body, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he dies in the like the collapse of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
Anything
like the
else?
ending. I didn't like the ending.
Which part?
Like the whole Portuguese soldier thing, I don't know. It just felt so
I get
fucking weird and out of
it
place.
did, but also that was what the 17th century, whenever everyone was trying to take over India
That's fair.
or
That's
colonize it, whatever, right?
yeah.
Because the British did, I think, too, right?
Yeah. It just felt so weird and out of place as
It
like
yeah.
as an ending to this movie.
Yeah, it did kind of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway,
But yeah.
anything else?
I don't think so.
Ooh, all right, well. That's the way the chewing tobacco splatters.
Oh, disgusting.
Oh,
All right, how did you rate this movie?
was kind of back and forth between my rating. I end up giving it a 3.5 out of 5 because, like, there was a little bit of it in the movie where I wouldn't say it was boring, but there was not much happening. Like, I was still invested in it and like learning about like the lore and what was happening, but like kind of like the second act was a bit slow and not much going on. But I thought the movie looked absolutely amazing. I love the black and white and the way they filmed it. The sound design and the score was really good. The acting was, I thought, really good as well. And just kind of like the lore and stuff, like the extra research that we can do for this movie and kind of learn more stuff. And just learn more about cultures. Like, this is kind of what our year is about a bit, right? So
True.
I was going to give it a 3 out of 5, but then I was like, I'll just give it a 3.5. So I like the ending, like kind of the twist that happened, and so yeah. What about you?
I also gave it a 3 out of 5, or 3.5 out of 5, sorry.
Okay, nice.
I agree. I think it was a really well-made movie. I thought the acting was so fucking good. This is a movie that is very new to us. It's a genre, like a sub-genre, I guess, that's very new to us. So it was a nice introduction to Indian horror and Indian cinema
Yeah,
for me personally.
and I thought this movie really nailed the whole folk horror
Yeah. Oh,
thing,
absolutely. Hundred
right?
percent. Yeah. I did feel like it was a bit too long and dragged on in a lot of places, like you said. It was a bit hard to follow on a first watch because there's just a lot that you need to kind of take in. It's a language that I'm not used to hearing and like following along to. So, it was, yeah, on a first watch, it was a little hard to follow. But I do want to watch it a second time, get a better grasp on the story and all the lore surrounding it. Cinematography was fucking gorgeous, and I really liked the score. Like, we have Indian music, and I don't know, like they're singing. I don't know how to describe it, but like Indian singing, I don't know. I don't know if there's a correct term for it or not, but it's just, I don't know, it was a really good score. And I already mentioned it, but I wasn't a huge fan of how it ended with the Portuguese soldiers, but I understand where you're coming from with it kind of being relevant to that time. All right, Letterboxd fucking sucks for this movie.
I mean, not many people have watched it, to be
No.
honest.
Or I don't mean Letterboxd, sorry, I meant Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, Letterboxd kind of sucks for it too. Rotten Tomatoes, there's nothing for a critic's consensus. There's no critic score at all.
Okay.
We have an audience score if you want to try and maybe take a stab at that.
I mean, the movie's pretty new. Say like a 72.
86.
Okay.
That's only on 100 ratings. And it might be our highest rated movie that we've done.
Okay.
A 4.4 out of 5 or an 8.8 out of 10.
Wow.
It's pretty fucking high. Now it is only on 100 ratings, so it hasn't really been diluted yet, but pretty high score.
I kept seeing this movie is very similar to another Indian horror movie called Tomb Bad, TUMBBAD.
That's one of the movies that the guy in the Discord chat brought up.
Okay, yeah.
I said it sounds like something I would say when I have an upset stomach.
Yeah.
My tum's bad.
Jesus.
But yeah, that was on the list, so
Okay.
maybe we can check that
Yeah.
one. What do we have a score for on Letterboxd?
So Letterboxd has a 3.8 out of 4, 5.
Pretty good.
And yeah, no one has really watched this movie. So
Okay.
on my friends list. So
Does it say how many people have logged it?
I don't know how to look at the total.
It does say it on my.
Well, there was 10,800 that gave it a four. Actually,
There.
34,000 people have watched it, apparently.
Yeah. That's a pretty high number. It's not like crazy high, but
Yeah.
there's a lot of people that have it on their watch list. On mine,
Yeah.
anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Just get Sony Live.
Yeah, there you
Where's
go. What is it, $10 a month?
our sponsor?
Yeah, fuck. Right. Where are we here? Scare section. You ready for it?
Yes, sir.
How did you rate the scares in this movie?
I would give it I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
There wasn't really any jump scares. There was one that kind of got me. It was a bat just randomly whenever Thavon first gets there.
Yeah.
But just the atmosphere of this movie is what is really done really well. And Mamuti as po Pody is really intimidating. Like, yeah, it's not a scary movie per se, but like, it's just, yeah, the atmosphere and Pody's really good, and the goblin isn't like scary. It just looks like a goblin. It's not scary, really, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends who you ask, but yeah.
All
So I'll give it a 4 out of 10. Like, yeah.
right.
Scary scene. I'll go with whenever Pody fucking Jedi's the servant, like that kind of caught me out of
Okay.
nowhere. I was like, oh shit, okay. This guy's fucking crazy. And like just the way he switches like so quickly between like calm and just yeah. Excuse me. And would I survive? I'm gonna say no.
I think this is your first no in a long time.
You know, I don't know.
Don't change it.
I think I would live there for a very long time until I died of old age.
Okay.
So I wouldn't survive. It wouldn't be against my will,
Yeah. You would
right?
live, but you wouldn't be like living.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
that's fair. Yeah, just kind of mind your P's and Q's and just kind of survive.
And also like how during the movie it showed the servant going and like killing chickens or killing fucking weasels or whatever, like to get the food and
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, like the big ferret trap that he's got. Yeah.
What would you?
I gave it a 3 out of 10. Like you said, it's not like overly scary. It is a horror movie for sure, but it's more like atmospheric horror where like there's not a lot of scary imagery or jump scares or blood and gore or anything like that. Like the first blood I think we see is like in the last 20 minutes of the movie. But it's very atmospheric and tense and suspenseful and creepy.
It
But
reminded me of The Witch a little bit.
in a way. My scary scene, I'm gonna say that dream where we see
I was gonna say that too. Yeah, it's a
where
good
we
one.
see Pody in his like full gear, because he's kind of like on it all fours, but like all right angles is the way I can describe it. Like
Yeah, that's
that headdress is
yeah.
it's so fucking cool. And he like kind of crawls really quick into
Yeah.
the camera, and it just like I was like, oh shit, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that one. And would I survive? I think I'm in the same boat as you. Like, but at the same time, like, if I have a family, like, I'm gonna try and escape, and then end up dying. I can't see myself just becoming complacent in a place like this, and just like, all right, well, I guess this is my house now.
Yeah, because the servant was playing the long game, right?
Yeah, and like maybe that's what I would do. I'd play the long game. And like see, try out different ways and not be an idiot, but I don't know. I don't know if I could be that patient. So I think maybe I would die.
All right.
But yeah. All right. So, in 2 weeks, we are going to be joined by Miriam and Tawny from Two Chicks and a Horror Flick.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. To talk about Ichi the Killer.
Yeah.
Where's that one from? Is that Japanese?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. I sadly have never watched this movie.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I've heard.
I watched it for the first time. Damn, probably like 4 years ago now, 3 years ago now. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we left it open for them to decide, and this is one that they came up with. So yeah,
Awesome.
come back in 2 weeks where we'll be talking about Ichi the Killer with Two Chicks and a Horror Flick. In the meantime, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. Excuse me. There is a link to our Patreon if you wish to support this podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Go check out our episode with the Kilt and the Redneck on Martyrs. We had a great time again with those guys. Fucking phenomenal movie and great discussion. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Talk in a couple weeks.
Bye.